The 12th Man in the NFL presents Mike Holmgren.
Okay, yeah. All right. Now, are you all right?
Yeah.
No more rocket balls, please.
Powered by Tacoma Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, by El Gaucho, by Master Park Airport Parking, and by 3010 Weight Loss.
So now we just go with our regular guys, our Paul, regular stuff.
Now, Mike Holmgren on Seattle Sports Radio 950.
Let's do it one more time.
KJR.
One
more time.
Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Bucky Jacobson's here. My name is Chuck Powell. Hugh Millen for a little Monday morning quarterback on a Tuesday. And, of course, we roll out the red carpet for Coach Mike Holmgren as well. Hello, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I like that red carpet. That's nice.
Yeah. What do
well,
you think of it?
Bucky gets here early to kind of do that because I know you need muscle. You need strength. To do that,
he carries in the roll, and then Slickhawk and I get out the tape and the staples.
Okay,
and
we measure. Bucky gets the red carpet too.
Thank you.
Bucky he already trampled that thing.
Even close to red carpet. I got like a red welcoming mat the first day that I showed up here, and my key card didn't work. That's the red carpet I got.
There you go. All right. Well, we have a loss to discuss, 24-17, and then the way the offense looked in the first half. I'm sitting here thinking of like Coach Mike Holmgren. One of the great offensive minds in NFL history. Sort of like Aretha Franklin watching the first rounds of American Idol. I don't know if she could sit there and take that for very long. I mean, were you just nauseous watching that during the game?
I was shaking my head.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, now that all my kids are growing up, it's just Kath and I at the house. And so she, after a while, she said, I can't watch this with you anymore. I'm going to go into the other room and read. I said, that's probably a good idea. But I've been there. You know, I've been in games where the difference is for Pete as a head coach is that I call the plays. So I couldn't point to anybody. I mean, it was my deal, and at times you couldn't do much. And when you can't convert on third down, third and two, third and three, you should be able to. You expect to. When you can't do that, you don't have the ball enough. It's just ugly, and that would happen.
Yeah,
on occasion, and I didn't like it then. And when I watched last night, I didn't think. No, it was hard. It was hard for him. Yeah.
Now, what do you make of the? We're going to run the football. We're going to run it. That's all we're going to talk about. Chris Carson separated himself in this game, in this competition, and then we're only going to give him the ball six times, and then claim afterward that he was gassed, and that's the reason why he didn't get more carries. What do you make of all that drama?
Well, there are two or three things. One, I think you learn in press conference 101 that, you know, you and Gary Wright, who was our PR director, used to have. I learned so much from him.
Yeah,
because you're emotional and you say stuff, and he'd bring me in the room before I went and talked to the guys, and he'd go yell at me. I don't want to yell at you. Yell at me. And so I'd start ranting and raving and venting. And then we'd go in.
Out.
And he'd go, okay, now you feel better? You know, and then he goes, now don't say this. Remember you're talking. Okay. So we had that thing. I think when you say you're going to do something in a game, we're going to pass the ball every play. We're going to run the ball. We're going to jam it down their throat. We got to get this going. We got to do this. You're kind of opening yourself up to criticism because – game football is funny. You don't get to do that all the time, as much as you want to, and as much as you're prepared to do it, and talk to your team about it. It's not working. So your job as the play caller or on offense in particular is to move the football and score points. Now, as the game's going on, okay, that's not working. Try this. Boom, boom. So that's the chess game.
Mm-hmm.
Now to say Chris Carson, I had no idea because I don't look at the stats like that necessarily, but to hear you guys talk about how many carries he had and when he stopped playing.
11:45 in the second quarter.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
His last carry.
Yeah, he's a starting running back, and we talked about it last week, and we thought, okay, it's going to be different this week, and it wasn't. And then to see that he didn't, and then to hear Pete say that he was, I think he said he was gassed.
Gassed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was on special, he ran special teams a couple times. And one, I wouldn't have my starting running back on special teams. That's the first thing. Everyone does things differently. I'm not saying that's the only way to do it, but I wouldn't do it. And then, two, I got to believe, Bucky, I got to believe he was either hurt or sick. Because it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm thinking that he's going to come out on the injury report at some point in time. And I'm going to concede to you, if you're trying to run the ball and you're not doing it very well, that would make sense. You got to kind of adapt and figure out a way to move the ball and score some points. But they kind of were moving the ball at first, and then they went away from it. One question I had for you, because I know you were the guy that called plays. He doesn't call plays. He has Schottenheimer. He's brought him in, and he's given him that. And then all of a sudden, we've heard that he, in the third quarter, decided he was going to kind of override him a little bit and say, hey, I want to start taking some shots down the field. So they come out their first two possessions and pass, 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 punt, pass, 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 punt again. That, to me, just doesn't even – it seems like they're talking out both sides of their mouth. Like, we're going to run, but then they're not committing to it, even if it is working and you're within one score. I don't know when does the time come? You never had to override anyone because you were doing it. When does the time come that you have to adapt?
Well, I will throw it. I used to defensively, you know, I was calling the game offensively, mm-hmm. and let my defensive coordinator call the game. I had a lot of confidence in them. Okay, so if they're on a rare occasion, I would click on the defensive guys and I'd say, for whatever reason, I thought they were being too cautious or too conservative, or they were worried about what I thought or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't tell them what to call, but I'd say, hey, it's okay. If you want to cut them loose, that's what I would say. You want to blitz more? Blitz more. That's okay. We got to do something here. I wouldn't call the play.
Right.
Now, when I was a coordinator in San Francisco, a couple times my last year there, a few more than a couple, too many times, I thought. I'd call a play from, I was upstairs. As the play caller, I did it from upstairs. And the play I'd call wouldn't get run. And I'd go, what's going on? Well, the head coach would override my play and call another play.
Oh,
now that's quite different than the coach saying, go ahead and pass more or
right.
open it up.
Right.
You know, so I don't have a problem with Pete saying that in the second half because they weren't running. They weren't running very well,
mm-hmm.
really. And so he said how Brian Schottenheimer interpreted what the coach said, you know, I don't think Pete was calling the plays, but if he interpreted it, that means throw the ball a lot. I don't know. You know, if I see Brian, I'll ask him.
Yeah,
we've had some fun kind of teasing around with the comment that Carroll made about Carson being too gassed. All joking aside, the problem I have with that, Mike, is one of two. It's one of two things. Either Chris Carson really was gassed, in which case he's not an NFL running back. If he can't in year two of his career, if he can't carry the football past the 18 minute mark, like 3 minutes into the second quarter, then he, you know, might as well just, you know, like choose a new career path.
Right.
So I don't believe that to be the case. So then it's okay. We're making a statement that he's too gassed to run. And if we don't think that's true, that's a real indictment on it. Like if I'm Chris Carson and I got to face my teammates and the fans and I'm reading that my head coach is saying I'm too gassed to run, that'd be like me as a quarterback saying, well, our quarterback, he just forgot the protections. Like let's say I was in the throwing up in the flu. I'd rather have him say, hey, he was throwing up with the flu.
Yeah.
Then like that's central to quarterbacking. What do you mean you forgot the protections? If you're a running back, especially look at the Adonis body this guy is. Yeah. He's obviously very committed to his fitness level. He more at least on the hoof, he looks like he can handle it. He's running like a beast in there. He's exerting the physicality that I haven't seen since Marshawn Lynch on the few carries that he did have, even when they were tough yards. Some of that average, you know, when you give a guy a ball second and one and he hammers it for 2.5 yards and the average go down, that's still a damn good run. And so if I'm Chris Carson, I don't want my head coach saying I'm too gassed to play the last 42 minutes of the football game.
Yeah, I suspect that'll get cleared up in the next couple of days. I really do, because I would, you know, it's one of those things that in a press conference he said he'd like to take it back, I would think, automatically. You guys remember Amon Green?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, one of the worst things I ever did when I traded Amon, but
yeah,
who went on to a wonderful career in Green Bay. But when he was with me, and I didn't know this in the beginning, he had horrible asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd been in a game, and he'd come out, and I'd go to running back coach or whomever and say, what's going on? Well, he can't breathe. And it was a problem. It was a big problem. So we
did
had
you
to,
know he had asthma?
I didn't. I didn't know. I did not know. Huh. And I knew. And then after that, we had to kind of deal with it. But and you know, you don't like to talk about those things necessarily in a press conference. Oh, people would ask, why isn't Amon? And they never asked me that, but they could. Why isn't he playing more? Well, you got Ricky Waters. I'm going to let him play. But that, I got to believe it's something else. Mm-hmm. The problem was what Pete said. And if I'm the player, if there's a real problem, there's a problem. If I'm the player and they just sat me down and they just didn't hand me the ball, then that player is in my office. I didn't call him in. He's in my office. Like Jerry Rice would come into my office the next day and go, Mike, you got to get me the ball more. Or somebody, whomever. Now, it's Chris Carson, a young guy. He's just trying to, he's relatively new, you know. But it just doesn't jive. I suspect we're going to hear something else in the next couple of days.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement with that it just doesn't make enough sense. That we're not buying that, whatever the reason is. Maybe we'll find out soon. But we'll talk more about this and, of course, other topics. How to get the offense cranked up. All of that coming up. An 0-2 start for the Seahawks following last night's 24-17 loss to the Chicago Bears. We continue with Hugh and Coach Holmgren next.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Chuck Powell, it's Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR here on this lovely Tuesday. Fall is in the air. It was actually cool last night. It was lovely. Football is here, which means we're going to convene after every Seahawks game with Hugh Millen and Coach Mike Holmgren to talk some Seahawks football. Now, look, I realize, I mean, we talked a lot about the gassed question in the first segment there, Coach. I realize that you coaches can't be honest with us, and you don't need to be. There's no reason that you should be honest with me, frankly. I mean, you need to say what you need to say and say what you want to say to operate your team the way you want to operate your team. Same with Pete. He has secrets he wants to keep. He is totally entitled to keep his secrets to make his team the best football team possible. But help me with my dilemma this morning. Because I've got a coach that took a lot of his resources in the offseason, Coach, and put it toward establishing a running game. We're going to use a draft pick on a tight end that blocks. We're going to say goodbye to Jimmy Graham. We're going to sign Ed Dixon because he blocks. We're going to get DJ Fluker because he run blocks. We're going to draft a first-round pick, a running back, in the first round. We're going to bring in an offensive line coach that knows how to run block. We're going to bring in an offensive coordinator that's only grounded and pounded his entire NFL career as a coordinator. And yet, we still have two passes to every one run, despite all of these resources that we're dedicating to the run game. Why is the trigger not being pulled on game day to try and establish this thing that can't get established?
You know what? You make a very good point, because all those things led us to believe that it was going to be quite a different offense.
Yeah.
Given the fact that Russell Wilson is very key to everything that makes it go, I think. But to have a balance, which everyone thought I was pass happy, but that wasn't true. I tried to strike a balance, but then if it wasn't working, I'd go in another direction. But if you preach that this is what kind of team we're going to be, and we're going to, you know, going back to the Marshawn Lynch days. When they had a shutdown defense, they could play the game that way. They had a young quarterback. They weren't sure how much he could handle it. So it kind of was that. They had an offensive line that had some number one draft choices in it, pretty good running game. But now they can't do that. I don't think they can do that, given the parts that they have. Not this year. They haven't shown it anyway in two games. Now, I think they'll keep trying. I think they have to keep trying, you know, because that's a philosophy that it's deep down in Pete's
core.
Yeah, it is. And that's how he'd like to play the game. So, and he's the head man, so that's where they're going to keep trying. But they have to be able to sustain drives. There's three and out, four and out, five and out. Mm-hmm. They don't have the ball enough. And Chicago, listen, Chicago let them hang in there. Trubisky is as good as he looked in flashes. He also looked very young to me. He missed a lot of stuff, and he was very lucky. Very lucky. He didn't throw about four or five interceptions.
Agreed.
So, you know, but it's a learning curve right now, and they want to be something, and they're not close to being that yet.
How much are teams influenced, and perhaps more in detail, Seattle, by your just conjecture about the drafting of Rashad Penny? They're in a little bit of a pickle there. Chris Carson had really flashed, of course, a year ago, but Seattle had no way of knowing how healthy he would come back off that ankle, right? Because Thomas Rawls hadn't been the same after his ankle. So I've never heard a Seahawks fan fault them for drafting running back in the first round. But here the camp unfolds, and Chris Carson's clearly the better player. How would you handle that? And do you think that had any impact on last night, this kind of conundrum about how to use Rashad Penny?
I think it's part of it, absolutely. That's the only thing. You know, we're trying to figure out what happened, and so that is part of it. If you draft a player in the first round, regardless of position, you are saying to your fans, you are saying to that kid, you're going to play. You're a big part of what we're going to do, I think. And I referenced it last year or last week. You know, we drafted Sean Alexander, but I still had Ricky Waters. Now, Ricky Waters, I knew I had him for one more year. Mm-hmm. And then, but so that one year, Sean, even though he's the number one pick, had to watch. Had to watch for a while. So if it's not working and it hasn't been working, then you try the other guy. And if it hasn't been working great with him either, mm-hmm. you know, so. I think that's the conundrum that they face. It's difficult right now.
How do you assess Russell in this new offense? Two games in.
Russell, to me, I said last week. I thought I gave him a C+, B minus, whatever. And he last night didn't.
The grade didn't improve.
No, I don't think so. You know, I think we've come to expect a lot from him. A very talented guy. I think. I think there have been real protection problems, and then at times when he had it, you know, he felt a little something. He doesn't look as loose as he's been in the past, and kind of freelance. Look at what they scored. Look at how they scored. You know, and they scored at the end of the first half and at the end of the game, really. Mm-hmm. And when it was rolling, you know, he's calling his own stuff, and it's kind of, we've seen that mm-hmm. year after year after year. When it's programmed, or if you're on your first 15 of the game or whatever, it just doesn't seem like it's clicking yet.
Yeah, but last year he had 34 touchdown passes to lead the league. 26 were in the second half.
Yeah.
And in most of those games, you're trailing. He doesn't seem, I pointed this out earlier, to love structure. So you're a quarterback coach, and you've got this wonderful talent, or an offensive coordinator, or a head coach, whatever the case may be. You got this wonderful talent that you know is a playmaker, and you're trying to teach him how to excel in structure, because if you get that last part of it, oh, man, who knows what kind of player that we have. I mean, you had one in Favre
yeah.
that could play in both. You structure him up,
right.
Let him freelance, and he could excel at both. And I get that's where you want him to get in his game. But he's having a hard time, I think. You know, he looks so much different when they're trailing two touchdowns versus starting off a game.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about, and I thought of Brett too when you were talking about that, Chuck. The difference is Russell has established himself over, you know, what's in year seven or eight? What is it? He's there. Okay, when I had Brett early, he was just new. But reckless and kind of running around and doing his own thing. And I had come from a very, very by the numbers strict, this is how you did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've quickly realized that Brett was not going to be Joe Montana or Steve Young. He was not going to go by the numbers, although he was taught that way. But then I did have the come to, you know, moment with him about after a season saying, listen, I would like you to do this, 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 work on these things, think about them. And he goes, Mike, that's not how I play. That's what he told me.
Uh-oh.
And I said, okay. I said, you want to go to the Super Bowl? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, we've been 9-7 2 years in a row. We finally got to the playoffs. If you keep doing this stuff, we'll be 9-7. We'll make the playoffs, you know, but we won't get to the Super Bowl. And to his credit, that resonated with him, and he changed his game, became way more disciplined, even though people thought he really did become way more disciplined with an occasional crazy moment that drove me nuts. But, I mean, he changed.
See, yeah. Now you kind of tell this story in passing, but that's for football fans. That's like you could write a book about stuff like that, right? That's legend sitting here. That sounds like a very substantive conversation. Can you go into just a little bit more detail? Like what one of those years, I think Favre had something like 22 interceptions, and you guys paid a lot of money to him. I remember going, wow, that's a lot of money for a guy with 22 interceptions. It had to have been around that time.
It was.
And so I'm assuming that you were saying, hey, you got to take care of the ball more, but is there any more detail that you can just kind of share on that? And what caused him to say, Mike, I don't play that way?
Well, I think when you have quarterbacks that can move and can make these miraculous plays and make them work, if you really analyze them, if you have 20 of those plays, say four of them are spectacular, the other are disastrous or close to disastrous. But the fact that they made it work one time and they won a game, or then it kind of feeds whatever makes you tick inside. And so he was. We had our first 3 years were 9-7. First year didn't make the playoffs. Second year made the playoffs for the first time in a long time. Third year got another step. You know, got in farther in the playoffs, but we were 9-7. And that's when I had the speech with him. And I always tried to do with quarterbacks, even Joe Montana, who was the greatest, if not one of the greatest of all time. At the end of the season, I'd sit those guys down on how important they were and just say, how can we get better? You've been an MVP. We won a Super Bowl, but how can you get better? How mm-hmm. can we improve? And we talk about that. And that's when I had the conversation with Brett, and he said, you got to be more structured. Yeah, you said, look at these interceptions. We looked at the interceptions. We looked at how he played the game. In this game, we could have won this game. You know, whatever I talked to him about. And he goes, but Mike, that's what makes me good. This is how I play, mm-hmm. you know. And I said, well, okay, 9-7 is good enough. Okay. And he didn't want that.
He got through to him.
He didn't want it.
He got through to him. Hmm. The music in the background. We got a special guest on the line. Tyler Lockett's calling in.
Nice.
Tyler Lockett of your Seattle Seahawks. Touchdown last night. Hell of a catch. Hell of a throw last night by Russell Wilson is now joining us here on the line as we talk Seahawks football with Coach Holmgren and Hugh Millen. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. How are you? I mean, an 0-2 start's not what was in the plan, but can you sit here on a Tuesday morning and say to yourself, everything's going to be all right, and this is why?
Yeah, I mean, obviously being 0-2 is not a part of the plan, but, you know, I can honestly sit here and say we're going to be okay. You know, we did a lot of things that we didn't want to do, but we also did a lot of things that we did, like especially in the fourth quarter when we were trying to make that comeback. But we have history being down 0-2. You know, my rookie year, 2015, we were down 0-2. We lost to Green Bay, and we also lost to the Rams. And I think we also started 4-4 as well, and we still went to the playoffs. So we have history of being in these situations and how we've overcame it in the past. So I think we could be able to overcome it again this year.
Hey, Tyler, this is Coach Holmgren. How you doing?
Doing good. How about yourself, Coach?
Good. And listen, question for you. You know, there's talk about where they should play you, where you play, inside, outside. Are you an inside receiver? I just know you're fast and you're a good receiver. If you had your choice, if you could just tell the coaches, this is where I'd like to be, mm-hmm. where would it be?
I mean, it doesn't bother me where I'm at on the field. You know, wherever I'm at, I'm going to do whatever I can to be able to get open. I like being in a slot. I like being on the outside. You know, I was on the outside my first 3 years. You know, I get to work the slot a little bit this year. So, I mean, it's two different positions, but I'm also able to further my game and being able to do that. So you ask me what would I like to play. I mean, I get the chance to do everything. I get a chance to do punt return, kickoff return, the slot, the receiver, get handoffs with the jet. So, I mean, I'm already doing everything.
How about, you know, with Doug being hurt and other guys having to step up and carry the load, How are the young guys? But how, I know what you're going to do. And I would, if I was a play caller, I would know what you're going to do. How are the young guys handling this?
I think they handle it the best way that they can. We go to practice and we do whatever we need to do to get ourselves prepared and get ourselves right. We trust the coach's game plan and we try to go out there and execute it. And it just goes with the opportunities that we get. And I think that when everybody gets a chance to be able to get their opportunities, I think we do a good job in making them. You know, Jerron Brown had that catch at the beginning of the game. B. Marsh had some catches, and then we threw that deep ball to David Moore, and we was able to get a penalty. So I think whenever we get our opportunities, I think everybody's, you know, being able to make the plays that we need to make. Like I said last week, we just got to make sure that when it comes down to these 50-50 balls, we have to be able to do what we can to come down with them to be able to help Russell out.
We're with Tyler Lockett, and Tyler, you describe a lot of the good plays that happened primarily in the fourth quarter there, and you're to be commended, you guys, to come back. But prior to that, that performance offensively couldn't have met any of your standards, not your standards, not anybody's standards. Kind of talk about the communication that was taking place during that time at halftime. How were you guys dealing with the frustration of not playing anywhere near to your potential?
Yeah, I mean, we just had to reassess. We had to be able to figure out what it was that they were doing and how they were playing us, and we had to try to get back to what we do. I mean, we had a good first drive, even though it turned into a punt, but we were moving the ball, and we started figuring out some things that we could be able to do, and we kind of found out some of the things that we could be able to do and execute a little late. But, you know, we just got to do a better job in putting ourselves in better situations, putting ourselves in third and shorts and being able to get the third down conversions because, you know, Chicago offensively was getting the third down conversions and continuing to move the chains, and that's what was helping them build that chemistry and being able to play. And it's hard for an offensive team to be able to win if we can't continue to stay on the field.
So, Dr. Lockett, when is Doug Baldwin going to be back on the field? What's your diagnosis?
No, I'm not sure. You know, when it comes to injuries and stuff, I don't really think about that or try to get too involved in it. You know, I just kind of control what I can control and do what I do and try to be that leader until he comes back. But, you know, if any injury that I focus on is any injuries that I've had.
You know, Tyler, at halftime, the coach has to say a little something before you go out on the field. I don't know exactly what happens in the locker room with you guys, but I always would say something to the team, and the coordinators then would handle offense and defensive stuff. Was there a mention at halftime that you were going to come out kind of firing the ball in the second half and throwing it around and trying to move the football that way? Was that mentioned at all?
No, we just talked about keep plugging away, keep doing whatever it is that you got to do. You can't win the game in the first quarter, second, or third. You know, you win the game in the fourth quarter. And we knew that Chicago was going to be a hard team to face. But we also knew that they were beating Green Bay 20-3, and Green Bay had a chance to come back. So we knew that there was history that we would have a chance to maybe try to fight and get a run. And, you know, we did that. It was just a little bit too late.
Did anyone look gassed at halftime?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. All right, good to know. All right, Tyler, tell me about the Delta 12 Status SkyMiles program that you're working with.
Yeah, well, you know, I got an opportunity to be able to work with Delta again, so this is my second year, and they bring back the 12 Status program, and this is actually the third year that they were able to do that. And basically what it means is that every 12 that signs up, they are able to get free Delta miles for every passing yard that we throw this year. And I think that, you know, that's something that is really great because, you know, we throw for a lot of passing yards. And so they get a lot of free miles with that. And you do it by signing up with 12status.com.
All right. Well, you got 119 receiving yards to this point, so you're doing your part.
That means they need to sign up.
And you got yourself two touchdowns already. Can we expect one of those per game? Is that the plan?
Hey, I'm just taking it one day at a time.
I hear you, man. All right, so where do they sign up for all of this?
They sign up on 12status.com.
Okay.
And it's easy. It's easy to do it, and it's also free. And, you know, everybody likes anything that comes with free.
All right, Tyler. Hey, thanks, man. We appreciate it. Better days ahead, I'm sure.
Yep, you have a good one.
All right, Tyler Lockett joining us here on the program again, 12status.com, Delta, the official airline of the Seahawks since 2012, and they want to celebrate the most passionate and supportive fans in the league, so they brought back the popular 12-status program for a third straight year where you can earn some free Delta miles just for cheering on the team. Check it out again at 12status.com. We got one last thing remaining. I'm sure we all have one last thing we'd like to ask Coach Holmgren before we put a bow on this Tuesday edition of Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports Radio 950 KJR.
.com. Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the 12th man in the NFL, Seattle's original diehard sports station, Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Show goes on, 9:47 here on this Tuesday, day after Monday Night Football. Seahawks lose to the Chicago Bears 24-17, start the season at 0-2. We got one more segment with Coach Holmgren and with Hugh here on this Tuesday. I will let you know that 11:50 a.m. this morning is your next opportunity to play Fact or Fiction, presented by the Emerald Queen Casino. Why not take a run at $1,000? Seems logical. 11:50 with Puck and with Cliff. Play a little bit of Fact or Fiction. Bucky, you got one last thing for Coach this morning?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got about 100 things. I just asked. I talked to Zeroff during the break.
That was pretty rude, by the way.
Yeah, well, like,
we were all
he has
judging.
Two of them. He has two. I can talk one off. He kind of mentioned during the break that he sometimes has a tendency to sit there and kind of be, you know, making play calls in his head while he's watching the game. If there was one thing right now that is the most glaring weakness from what you've watched for 2 weeks that you'd want to change as far as a coach, where you're going to go, I mean, obviously, Russell, don't throw that pass, right? That would be a good one. Hey, guys, run better. Or, hey, receivers, get more separation. But as a coach, what's the one thing you're going in after that game last night and you're saying, in your post-game talk, here's what it is. Guys, we got to clean this up, and we're going to go get them next week.
Yeah, I think I worried most about pass protection, and so I would start moving the pocket a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe add a few more screens, a few more draws, just something to get something they haven't done a lot of yet to change it, because right now they're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're stuck. They want to do something. They want to run the ball, which is great, you know, and if you start out running it, stick with it. Don't, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, but if it's not working, be prepared to do something else. But those are the things I would do right now and emphasize on offense.
Right. Makes sense.
What's your response to the Michael Kendricks signing?
I wouldn't do that. And I know he's a good player and, you know, but I don't know what's going to happen to him, but he is convicted of something, and it just, I'm all for giving guys second chances and all that kind of stuff, but it just, I wouldn't have done it, you know. And I know they were desperate and they needed a player, I suppose, but no. And I don't know how long he's going to be there, because some sort of a ruling is going to be coming down.
Where is the line for you? I assume that there's some malfeasances, call it what you want, some crimes of a minor nature, you'd say, okay, I'm willing to take the hit if there is one with that. Where's the needle crossed for you? Say, well, nope, that's going too far. We can't take that.
Well, I'm probably on the more conservative side with that sort of thing. Now, I drafted guys who had gotten jammed up as young people. I did do that. Mm-hmm. And after doing your due diligence and talking to the families and the player and all, I wanted to take a chance. But I draw the line, you know, I mean, I have four daughters, so there's issues with me with guys if they get jammed up, you know, being physical with women as an example. That's a line for me.
Yep.
But he got convicted of something. And so I think that's a pretty bright line to me.
Yeah. My one last thing is, I watch a lot of football, not nearly as much as you two in my life, but rarely do I get caught off guard anymore. I mean, I know that even if it's a strange alignment, they could even do that running back behind the center and the whole line is over on the other. My high school coach used to run that play, so I pretty much know the options coming out of that play. But there was a moment last night onsides kick. The punter comes out onto the field. Michael Dixon, who's been called like the Harry Potter of kicking, like this wizardry, and he can do things that no one's ever seen with a football before. And that's the first time in a long time where I'm like, I have no idea what he's about to do right now. And I don't think the Bears do either. Did you sort of have that same moment last night?
Yeah, I just said, well,
how do you prepare for that?
That's exactly what I said. Well, you know, yeah, you know, you don't know what he's going to do. It wound up being a very similar type kick, though. You know, you know how they used to kick?
I was actually a little disappointed.
Yeah, the onside kicks out, you pound the ball into the ground, make it pop up in the air and all that kind of stuff. So he had the ability to do that. One thing I did write in my notes, though, I put bad punt and circled it because he's an awesome punter. He punted one ball for about 15 yards.
Uh-huh. He can bleed.
Yeah, I mean, so he's human. You know, he's not Harry Potter. He's human, you know. But you're right. I thought it was fast. They're trying all sorts of stuff, you know. So that was, yeah.
I thought, I mean, he was going to, like, drill it beneath the ground and then it would pop up at the line of scrimmage of his choosing down the field.
Yeah. Like a mole.
Like everybody run to the 37. Because he's going to kick it into the ground, and then it's going to pop up at the 37.
Well, Mike and I are old enough to remember Ray Guy. I think he's the only punter in the Hall of Fame. Now you'd watch Raider games and you'd actually pay attention when he was punting.
Oh no, remarkable! Yeah, good.
Right,
good, yeah.
I don't ever remember
nothing like this.
Something about the Australian thing and all the different. You know, spins he can put on the ball and
drop kicking. Maybe Janikowski. I don't know. I don't know if he can. Maybe he can't kick. We have a lot of more questions than answers this morning about, you know, people being sick. Why is that kicker doing it? We'll get some next 2 days.
Well, hopefully by week 3 or 4, we'll have it figured out a little bit more. Coach, thank you. Great stuff as
thanks,
always.
Thanks, guys.
Coach Holmgren, Hugh, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. For Bucky Jacobson, my name is Chuck Powell. Coming up next, we've got Puck. We've got Cliff Averill. So, yeah, you got to stick around for that. Sports Radio 950 KJR.